fertilizer. I've had both. People are telling me, no, it's got the wrong kind of stuff in it. But chicken droppings are good. And one of the things we want to do is, when we have one here today, is a portable chicken coop. It's on wheels, takes two guys to move it. It's called a chicken tractor. And we can move it around our garden. So we can throw 15, 20 chickens in there and move it around during the day. They're protected in this little box with wheels. And they can help cut down on the pests in the garden. Now, we also have a large, about a 6-foot high fence all around our garden. We have two phases of our garden. We have the vegetable side, melon side, you know, where we have rows and all that kind of stuff. And then outside that, we've planted citrus and fruit trees, and we've designed it to be a garden and an area of reflection. That may sound a little strange, but it'd be a good place to go pray. So we're hoping, we planted the trees in such a way that we could put benches out there, we could sit underneath them, we'd be able to enjoy just God's creation in the garden. But the biggest problem here that we have in our garden is gophers. So we have cats to try and get the gophers. We shoot the gophers. We've tried everything. We do the poison thing, but there's just so many gophers here. It's a big part of the curse here.
Speaking of cat, want me to put him outside?
Yeah, put the cat outside. He's in here. I don't know if they can hear it. It's meowing, running around. He's probably hungry. Check his bowl, but only give him a little bit. He's supposed to be eating gophers. So
He's resisting.
Resistance is useless. Do not throw the cat at me.
Get the taser.
Yeah, just take it outside, Lou. Oh, boy. Well, everybody's starting to slowly come in. You people that are in now, I want to apologize for not doing the show yesterday. Stacy was stranded at her job about 40-some miles away. What it turned out was a faulty radiator cap. It failed, and she boiled out all of her water on the way down there. And she drives one of the, it's like a 1983 Cougar or something, 81, 82. And all, it doesn't even have a temperature indicator in the dash. And, you know, of course, she thought something was wrong, had to get to work, and then came out on her break and saw the pool of water underneath where it had boiled over. So, and my second vehicle is dead, so I had to go borrow a car, load up the tools, load up a couple, you know, 5-gallon jugs of water, some antifreeze, and get down there. And so that's why there was no show yesterday. We got here about 5:30, and I was just beat and miserable. Beat and miserable. I don't know if it's pre-83. I'm told pre-76. Smud asked a question. Pre-83 vehicles have no computers. Correct. Everybody up here that's smarter than me has older vehicles, like in the 70s. There's several GMC, Ford, stuff like that. Maybe somebody else in here. A Minuteman knows about that kind of stuff. I was told it was pre-76 because they also don't have the smog controls on them. And that's out here. Now, my 4Runner, which is a 91, is telling me that the computer's shot when I get the code. So I've got to scrounge up a computer or figure out how to test the computer, those kind of things. So,
or make one.
There is a definite advantage to having an older vehicle without all that junk. Because even if they do an EMP, you can just, and you've set up a Faraday cage, you can protect some components and have them as backup and get that vehicle running again. Anybody who watched Jericho, you saw there was that female mechanic. She was, you know, putting all the points and stuff in there and doing that. And I'm actually our militia leader, our pastor. He's the de facto head, and then we have an executive officer. But he's kind of scolding me today. He goes, you shouldn't have bought that newer car with all those electronics. It was a $500 vehicle. I didn't have any more money. You know, necessity sometimes breeds stupidity, and I got it. If I had it to do over again, I would have kept looking for a Suzuki Samurai, which will run without the computer. I have one Suzuki Samurai, but it only goes 55 miles an hour because of the gearing that I put into it. I've put a low-range transfer case and 486s in the differentials, and, you know, getting up to speed is really hard. It's made to crawl through the trees. And I don't have a license plate on it. I haven't licensed it, since I bought it. I didn't even register it. I just paid cash for it and drove it off. Olima, back on the gopher thing. I've successfully used gopher traps several times, both ones made from wood and plastic. Essentially, you dig out a fresh hole, set the trap, and put it into the hole and pile it up with dirt. around the sides and the trap as it sits in their pathway sticking out of the ground. We have those spring traps that catch them by the head, but what they're doing is they're pushing a pile of dirt ahead of them and tripping them. We have about a dozen of those, right, Lou? And you set them out, and they worked at first, and then we started finding them all tripped. They just didn't work. And the gophers, they have a learning curve here. Now, maybe it's been several generations since we last did it, so we could do it again.
They're buying some detectors on eBay.
Who's buying detectors?
The gophers.
You think the gophers are buying trap detectors?
Yeah.
I gave you too much soda again today, didn't I, Lou?
No.
That's just sad. Yeah, well, I always think of the gopher from Caddyshack. We very seldom see them. They'll pop their heads out, and if you're sitting in a lawn chair in the front yard here, and you got a .22 or a pellet gun, you can get them. And then the cats are like pointers. They'll be watching where they're coming through the soil, and I'll just sit there and wait with a .22 and hit them.
I killed about 3 gophers for the cat.
Yeah, Lou shot 3 for the cat. Some of them I just run up and stomp on. Our pastor's great. He hates them with a passion because he's a lawn care tree surgeon guy, and they're just the bane of that industry. And if one's sticking his head out and it's not looking at him, he'll run up with a steel toe boot and just rip its head off by punting it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, to see a pastor that angry at an animal of the curse. You know, it's a righteous hatred. You know, they were put here part of the curse, and we have to deal with them. The other thing that we have a problem with here is weeds. We're talking about the garden. We have an invasive weed. It's a thistle plant. Well, those aren't weeds. That's natural native grass. I'm talking about the big prickly things with the big flower. I mean, everybody spends hundreds of dollars, which is good for us because we go around and abate them. And the weeds, they come up everywhere. And this tough thistle, the weed eaters won't cut them. You got to go at them. You got to dig them out up the roots. You got to kill them. I mean, we'll pour bleach in the hole where we dug them out of just in case something's still there. So we've got that problem up here. The soil's pretty rich. You can grow just about anything and feed the gophers with it. So if you've listened to the show, you know that we grow above ground. We build planters. We use 5-gallon buckets. We use troughs. Just there's always something we got to do to counter the curse. And that's not forgotten here. We understand that we're a fallen people, a fallen race, those of us, because of what our human lineage father, not the father in heaven, but Adam did and Eve did, and we carry that burden today. It's actually, I hate to say it's cool, but it's a nice reminder just of who we are and where we've come from, you know, in the last 6 or 7,000 years. Easy coon trap, drill a hole in the size of a coin. Yeah, put the shiny coin in the tree. We've got all kinds of traps up here. There's even a wild boar trap that's been used up here, and we're going to try and get some little piggies. And domesticate them. There are feral pigs and there are wild pigs. The wild boar are Russian boar, and they're very dangerous. They will cut you up and they will eat you.
How big get here all the way from
the feral
Russia?
Pigs grow pretty big. They get up to 300 pounds, I'm told. The Russian boar anywhere from 150 to 200 that I've seen taken out of here. And they come through here at night, and with those tusks, they tear up everything. Oh, we're playing the music?
Yeah.
Okay, we're coming up on a break here. And we'll be right back after this. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll continue with another hour and a half.
Irishmen are proud and glad of the land that they were born. Oh, son, I see in memory too of far off distant days when being just a lad like you, I joined the IRA. Where are the lads who stood with me when history was made? Oh, Gromagree, I long to see the boys of the old brigade. From hills and farms, the call to arms was heard by one and all. And from the glen came brave young men to answer Ireland's call. Was long ago we faced a foe, the old brigade and me. And by my side they fought and died that Ireland might be free. Where are the lads who stood with me when history was made? Oh, Gromagree, I long to see the boys of the old brigade. And now, my boy, I told you why, and Mr. Morn, I sigh. For I recall my comrades all of dark old days gone by. I think of men who fought in glens with rifle and grenade. May heaven keep the men who sleep from the ranks of the old brigade.
Where are the lads who stood with me when history was made? Oh, Robert Green, I long to see the rise of the old brigade. Where are the lads who stood with me when history was made? Oh, Robert Green, I long to see the rise of the old brigade.
Okay, folks, we're having a little bit of technical problems. We're going to wait till Lou can get the audio playing. We got gremlins in the machine today, don't we? Hopefully I'm not too loud. People are commenting that the sound is better. Yeah, just close it. Close the sound player, and we'll just go fresh here. You're listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Show, coming to you live right now. I'm going through my email. Man, you guys are sending me so much stuff. I've got all kinds of interesting things. Coming up after the top of the hour, I got some interesting intel that I'm going to kind of, I can't give you 100% of the information because it'll burn a good contact. So we're going to speak in generalities, but everything I'm giving you is a first-hand report given to a member of our group, an extended member. But we're going to talk about how military forces reacted to a meeting at a college campus, let's say. And we're going to talk about that after we get on to Liberty Tree Radio, because I want to share that with a much larger audience. But the emails I'm getting today and the things that we're talking about today are, I want to get into preparedness a little bit. I want to get into preparing if you have a retreat, the land, that kind of stuff. We focus a lot on the city folks and what you need to do to get out of Dodge, and I'm probably neglecting the folks that either already live in a... let's see, what's the word? An urban interface. They're on the edge out there. And again, you guys, let me know how this sounds, because all I'm hearing is crackling in my headphones because we turned everything down so low. But there are many of us, I mean, the majority of people in America do live in cities. I get that. But there's a big chunk of us that live out in the middle of nowhere, or you can see the middle of nowhere from your front porch. So you have a little bit different opportunity to apply your preparedness mindset. Now, one of the first things I would do, now it's different if you're a renter, but let's just assume you can get away with whatever you want on your property. You need to put in a root cellar. A root cellar is invaluable. And if you don't know what one is, ask your grandma or grandpa. I'm just kidding. It's a below-ground food storage area. You can grow stuff in there. You can grow mushrooms in there. You can sprout some things in there too, you know. But you need to have a big enough area, a root cellar, a storm cellar. And they serve a lot of purposes. I grew up on the plains where I would, we'd have tornadoes. We'd all go get in the root cellar. We had basements in our houses too, but the root cellar was a much lower profile. And what it is basically a dugout, little hump in the ground with a doorway on one end. You go in and you clean it out. They stay cool. Even in hot temperatures, you're 10 to, you know, 6 to 10 to 12 feet below the surface of the earth. That's great. You ventilate it, put some ventilation in it so you don't just grow a bunch of mold down there. But you put in your shelves, and I knew people that did all kinds of stuff in these things. They wired them up with lighting and stuff, but it's a great place to store food to keep it cool. You can grow certain things down in there. I knew a guy, and I don't know why he did this. Well, I know why he did it, but I didn't know if it was how everybody else did it. He cultivated worms. He had huge worm beds underground in these big trays, and then he would take them out, and he'd sell the worms to other home gardeners. People used them to aerate the soil and enrich the soil and to break it up. So a root cellar is key. Google, there's so many different plans for them. You can sandbag. You can just use earth with a few supports, sturdy. And then the second thing is they're a great defensive position. They're hard to see from the sky. It's a little bump in the road. They won't know what it is. I knew a guy that made the entrance to his look like it was just some utility shed up against a hill. But behind it, he had dug out all his stuff. And there's still time to do this if you live in a rural situation. One of the other things that I've always really liked to do is, excuse me as I lose my train of thought, I'd like to recommend, rather, is to put in your own type in, or extend outhouses. Even if you're in a rural area, you may be on a county line for your waste. You may have cisterns. You may have, or cistern, not a cistern, but a leach field. Extend them. One of the things that reminded me reading the book Patriots is that when they started to get more people into the unit, they overpowered the toilet. Now, I know what you're thinking. There's a toilet? In a post-collapse society, a toilet won't work. Well, if you have buckets of water, it's just dump it in there, and you can use it. And let the ladies do that, or let the infirm do that. But you got to dig outhouses, figure out, you know, where to put those. You can put in your own leach fields if you prepare now. 55-gallon drums filled with rocks with the proper tubing going into them, spread out, would be great for that. Great way to do it. The other thing that I want to talk about is composting. We must waste nothing. If it's organic, throw it in a compost pile. There are barrels. You can do it. I know people up here, they just have a pit. They made a little U-shaped cinder block thing, and they throw everything in there. The chickens come and pick it over, but then as it sets, the compost is good to use for fertilizer. It's true conservationalism. We are good stewards of the gifts that the Lord gives us. If we use everything, we throw nothing away. I mean, you wash the aluminum foil that you use. You wash out the baggies and let them dry. You know, I won't go so far as to say wash the paper plates, but I don't know many survival people that use paper plates. You get the rigid ones and you can clean them. But I've been silently listening a couple of weeks. I think it's safe to say I consider you guys like-minded. Thanks, Smut. I appreciate that. What? No. No, we're not left-wing extremists. That's
just a modified.
No, we're called right-wing extremists, but that's okay. I don't mind that label. I can't get on an airplane now, but that's okay. I can't go buy a firearm without going through like a 6-week background check, so I don't even mess with it anymore. It's ridiculous. They keep asking me all these questions and stuff.
Take the test 3 times.
Yeah, no, I don't have to take a test to get it. Never mind. But compost piles, ways to get rid of your waste efficiently. I know in Colorado there was this big experiment where they were using human waste to fertilize. No, I don't recommend it. There's just something wrong in my head to take human corpolite and throw it in, or waste product. Corpolite just means it's petrified. Waste product and throw it into the garden. I'm not going to do that. I'll use animal waste. You know, the cows, the chickens, whatever you got there. The other thing you want to do is wire your buildings for calm. No matter where you are, hook up some type of. Today we learned the guy who came up to visit while we were on. You know, he just came up to visit me, the listener. He was saying you can have sound powered wired lines, and I looked it up, and it's what the Navy uses on their ships. It's what OPLP posts use. It's actually in the book Patriots, where the vibration of your voice moves a diaphragm and sends it down a single wire. What's the message?
Since you ordered food and she's waiting for it.
Okay, good. So communication between your houses, even the latrines. Now you may say this is a bit extreme, but you don't know where you're going to be when the bad guys come a-knocking, right? Now, not everybody can afford to put a chain-link fence around their property. So maybe an open space is the only thing that's going to be protecting you with people watching. Maybe sounds a bit extreme, but if I had my druthers, there'd be crank phones in every building here on the ranch. And there'd be 3 or 4 different lines just in case they're taken out by gophers or whatever, or the enemy knows where they're at. You don't want to see that. You don't want them doing that. Don't concentrate or expose anything that is obviously paramilitary. Those satellites pass over. They take pictures of everything, and there are people that are paid to just scan them and look for you. Trust me, they've been doing it for years, and they're stepping it up now. So if you have fuel storage, disguise it. Put it inside. I know people say it's not safe to put it inside. Well, find a way around it. It's better that people don't see it, even the drive-by. Secure your gear where they don't see it. The time is not now. It's not the time now to be carrying around your FNFAL everywhere.
I've even gotten to the point where I cover my weapon when I walk around out here because we know they're using drones. And for the last 4 days, every day, the sheriff's black helicopter, I said it was DEA, but we found out it's sheriff, has slowly and lowly come over us, and they're sticking out the windows with cameras. They don't have the doors on. They've been flying over. We had some weird stuff with what's the F-22, the new Air Force fighter? It just circled over the whole area. It had everybody in Fresno scared to death. It made multiple circles, putting out chemtrails. You know where I am on that. I don't know if it's hurting us or not, but something. Even the police and fire in Fresno went nuts. It was on the radio this morning. They didn't know why the Air Force was circling over this area. So they're checking everything out. They're trying to see where people are. Yeah, the Raptor. It was called a Raptor. And the guy who called is an expert in aircraft. I went out and looked on our front patio and went, you know what? He's telling the truth. I see it. Just making big old loops. They thought it was a hijacked plane at first. Then they thought possibly that it was a pilot that was emptying his fuel to go on a, because he was going to emergency land. Yeah, isn't that weird, Olima? I didn't know if it'd been in the news around the country, but we had two of them doing it. There was an FC, whatever the new Navy fighter was, did it right afterwards. No soda. I don't want any soda unless you guys want soda. I'm done with soda. Yeah, you guys can have soda. I don't want any. I can't drink soda. You trying to kill me?
Yeah.
Stacy's. Yeah. So we're having weird stuff. They're checking us out. We were told by the sheriff that there is a predator drone that zigzags this entire area, this urban interface, looking for quote unquote marijuana. Lou's holding the phone up in the air again to get signal. That's funny. We're back in the bunker. It won't get it. So they're looking to see if we're making any changes. The only changes you can tell from Google Earth that we've made is we've made our obstacle course a little more fun. We've added a 5-foot wall and a 3-foot wall.
Google Earth updates like every 5 years.
Is it 5 years?
Yeah.
Well, there's satellite updates then. And then we put in a gate and a hinged gate that's pretty high to get over. The doors have been there for a year or so. Doorways for entry and defense practice. But the shooting range has gotten a little bit bigger. Tell her to get me a milk. If she's somewhere where she can buy milk, tell her to get milk. What's the word I'm looking for? So they're checking on you. So in your little ranch, your little farm survival area, your retreat, try to keep stuff hidden. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'll just throw up camouflage netting. Well, I can tell you that the first thing they're looking for is camouflage netting. Because that's what the marijuana growers use up here to hide their plants.
You can just put a big old turkey sign here.
I am here. Yeah, put just a sign that says hi. If you're putting up camouflage netting, make sure it doesn't stand out. Make sure you change the camouflage to fit the time of year that you're in. Otherwise, it'll look like a giant square of green and brown when everything around you is, you know, light tan. It's going to draw attention to it. Permitted buildings. Now, those of us that are up here that are consider ourselves off the grid, we don't get permits. But they're looking for those. They know what buildings you have because usually it's if you just bought the place, the previous owner has been diligent and went down and got all the little permissions from Caesar to build the outhouse or the rec room or the barn. So you add a building, they're going to go, what's going on there? He didn't pull permits. It's going to draw attention. So what you need to do, rather than building a new building, is exercise and optimize the footage that you have and go down. I know that sounds ridiculous, but if you've got a huge barn and you can dig out a 12-foot pit in it, 12 by 12, and gives you more storage below deck and you can cover it, that's better than putting out a new building and calling it the bunker or the powder mag, because they're going to notice it. And if you go get a permit, they're going to know about it too. Most places now, if you haven't tried to build something, they want to know all the specs. How are you building it? And they'll send somebody out to check it. So if you've got something that's 2 cinder block walls thick, filled with gravel in the middle, and it's got iron doors, they're going to go, this is the shed you keep your weed eaters in? So rather than go out of your way to throw up a red flag, go rent a jackhammer. Get a pick and a pick and just go hard sweating at it. I don't know if I could deal with living off the farm, dealing with permits and all that stuff. See, you've got to make sure that you don't alter anything, you don't add anything new to it. That was a comment from Smut in there. And be clandestine. And if anybody asks what you're doing, just say you're putting in underground fuel storage. It's got to be safe. You don't want it outside. Oh, like here in California. Oh, there's so much ag theft. I'm just securing my tractors and stuff in a different way. You know, it's just I'm putting underground fuel tanks, underground water tanks, whatever. Couch it in a way that it doesn't draw attention. Back in SoCal, I know that my landlord didn't worry about new or altered structures because so many immigrants were doing far worse, Olima says. Yeah, these immigrants, the illegal aliens, the invaders from Mexico, will go in and build lean-tos on the property. They'll do whatever they want to the house. They basically destroy and gut the house out so they can get more people in it. So why not? Man, your mom, did you tell her to get milk?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know if it's too late. I have to say this now. I don't know if it's too late. What? Okay. I don't know if it's too late. I don't know if we're out of time. I don't know how much time we have. But I'm pushed by the Holy Spirit to share this stuff. One is because I'm almost done with Patriots, and I read that thing, and I'm just like, man, I have wasted the last 2 years. The 4 years that I've been here, I should have been doing this. But you know what? We're going to pick it up, and I'm going to be doing it probably, you know, 18 hours a day. As long as Stacy has a job and we can keep bringing in funds and we can keep stockpiling food, I'm going to be doing it. And I'm going to share with you my trials and tribulations, just like I am with the vehicles. You know, getting a bug-out vehicle. I made a mistake getting a 91 with all this computer garbage on it. But from my mistake, it's a teachable moment, and I want to share that with you. Now, a lot of people go, well, I can't get a vehicle anyway. But if you've got an older vehicle, don't get rid of it. Keep it. Put some money into making sure it's going to run. It's worth it. And if you're going to need to store fuel, make sure you buy Stabilize. Stabilize is a product that you can buy at any hardware store or home improvement store for fuel. And there's the formulas on there. Gasoline will start to break down, and it will actually damage your car after about a year or two unless you put Stabilize into it. So store a bunch of 5-gallon cans if you can't do a big underground storage. What I do, and we haven't done it yet, I'm right here. I have 1 5-gallon can and a full tank on the vehicle that's not running right now. So I need to do more there, and I'm going to share that with you. We're going to buy a 5-gallon can every payday because they're not cheap, the metal ones. I don't buy the plastic ones because of the static charge and all that. I'll buy brand new metal ones, and we're gonna store them in one of the barn sheds that we have, and I've put a rack on top of the vehicle so that I can store the cans on top. I know it's kind of dangerous. Somebody puts a hole through them in the whole vehicle, but for right now, that's all I got. I need to build a tactical trailer or purchase a trailer to put the stuff in. So as I go through this process of applying everything that I'm preaching, and part of this is, and honestly, it's because I was a single person. Until I got married a year ago and got a wonderful wife and a great son, all it was me and my daughter, who is, because of custody injustices in the state, is 5 hours away. My whole goal was to equip a vehicle so that when the Schumer hits the fan and the Pelosi starts, you know, getting thick, I could run up there, bolt up there, and get my daughter and come back to the stronghold. So I hope you understand what I'm saying. And Smut says the best way to learn is from making mistakes. Thomas Edison said it, you know, he had like 999,999 mistakes and one success. And each mistake teaches you something. I probably butchered that quote, but you get the, hey, 38 Special, welcome to the room. So, Conge44, I don't know who that is, but that's a cool name. Conge44, welcome to the room. I haven't seen that name before. So everything we do in the process, I'm going to try to share with you, you know, unless it divulges stuff we don't want getting out. We're not doing anything illegal, but there may be certain tactical things that I won't share with you unless you're part of the group, unless you've come here and fellowshipped with us. Do what you can. There's still time, but not much. If you get the supplies now, then you can still do the projects after things fall apart, Minuteman. Ideally, and Minuteman said that, ideally, if you're set up correctly, as soon as the balloon goes up, martial law gets declared, you know, we're way out of the way where you've chosen to be. you can dedicate your time, like you said, to food procurement and processing and making sure that you strengthen and harden your defenses. Because some defenses, if you do them now, people are going to freak out. Like, for instance, if we take the backhoe, we're in a real rocky region. We're in a place where there are boulders spread throughout. And we've collected them and moved them, and they look really nice. They're very, you know, like, oh, look, they did landscaping out there on the cemetery. Truth is, the first thing that's going to happen is those boulders are going to be moved into choke points in the roads. That's what they're there for. They've been collected for that purpose. So pre-staging, hello, Warland, it's okay you're late. Pre-staging things like that are a good thing to do. Purchasing railroad ties for scrap. People just think they're landscaping. Last I saw, railroad ties are between $4 and $12. You want to get the ones that aren't dry rotted. The ones that are dry rotted will not stop rounds. But you can be building up landscaping in front of your little farmhouse and put a flower bed in there that's 4 feet high, and guess what? That'll stop something. Railroad ties, I've used them at shooting ranges and all kinds of stuff. They'll stop bullets, but you don't want the real burned out, dried out ones. Those are the cheaper ones. You want them to still have a lot of creosote in them. Creosote, if I said that right, it's a sealant and it repels insects. So put some really hardy flower beds in front of your windows. Now, not everybody can do what they did in Patriots and get, you know, 2-inch thick steel plates and everything, but you can do stuff. You can position certain parts of your little ranch house and make them safe rooms. Always have an avenue of escape, though. Don't make it where you're trapped in there, because you know what they're going to do. They're going to burn you down and kill your children. That's their MO. That's what they do. I got an email about some granny got killed by SWAT in the last couple days. Unfortunately, because I've been working on the vehicle, I haven't been able to get to that. So we're working on that. We're going to do what we can to get the stories back into the stuff, but I got to fix the vehicles first. I apologize for that. So you're getting Dutch just talking, you know, sharing what I've learned from other people and the mistakes that I've made. Now, the other thing that I want to discuss, should you pre-dig and reinforce fighting positions? Now, doing this in a manner that draws attention, no. You don't want an above-ground reinforced bunker with sandbags all over it. But you could dig spider holes. Little, you know, you can make them round, but I suggest making them square and reinforcing them with plywood and 2x4s. Now, the proper spider hole, to give you an idea, or fighting position, if it's for one person or two persons, you want to make it so that the person, deep enough so that the person can comfortably fire from it, observe from it, and still squat down in it and have elbow room. So you don't want it like a narrow tube that they have to half squat. That's for POWs. Although that is a good way to take care of POWs, putting them in the ground. We'll talk about that later. Just dig the spider holes, and they have a cover. Cover can be debris. What I like doing is old tires, old tractor tires filled with dirt. Old tractor tires filled with dirt with a false top in them, uses a flower bed, you yank it off, you get down in there, and you've got the defensive perimeter with the rubber tire with the dirt in it. I've seen people even put concrete in them. And you've got a perfect fighting position. Now, some people put grenade sumps in them. A grenade sump, and we learned this in fighting position. I don't say foxholes. I hate the word foxhole. It makes me feel like an animal. But a fighting position for two people, you would slightly slant away from the center. This helps with water drainage, too. See, there's a high spot for you to stand in. But if a grenade goes in, it rolls to either side, and then you would dig a cylindrical hole deep, deep in where you could kick the grenade in. And what we were trying to do was cover it with our steel pot and lean away from it. And that way, the grenade would go off down in the sump hole. It could happen. Murphy's Law, you know, these guys could be able to maybe they'll be tree hockey specialists and they can make baskets. They'll lob a grenade right into your spider hole. But if you make it look like a flower bed or something, they're not going to detect it. Not going to detect it. In Patriots, they use a refrigerator. They flip open the refrigerator top, and there's a hole through it. I like that idea. And get in your hole, you animal, Smut says. That's for Marines. Marines are animals. Soldiers are trained professional soldiers, Army guys, MPs especially. But you got to pre-place some fighting positions. Put some berms around. Make it look like you just were using your front-end loader, and you got tired, and you put a berm there. and have fallback. Have 3-4 layers. I know that sounds ridiculous. It may just be you, your wife, and your kids. Oh, somebody's asking why my nose was taped up. I can't see the pictures, but I assume it's the one. I was standing next to Lewis, giving him instruction, and Rocky, is he in here today? Rocky Hill was next to me, and a round ejected from a 223 round ejected, and the hot, sharp end stuck into my nose like a cheese grater. And stuck right into my nose and shaved a chunk out of it. I got a scar. And it bled, and it bled, and it bled. I kept putting more and more on it. And then after I put, so I gave up, so I smeared it with super glue and stuck that on there. Smut says he was a tanker. I remember in infantry school they said the life expectancy of a tanker was under 38 seconds. I don't know if that's true. But yeah, that's why that's on there. I now have a permanent scar. So the FBI could put that in their profile too if they're listening. Are there any guests in here? Yeah, there's some guests in here. So they could put that in. Several houses in the outskirts of Exeter have berms around them. I have seen that. And people up here are getting smarter. They know what's going on. The reason we're in the area we're in, that these farms or ranch houses are fortified, is because of the amount of illegal alien crime. They're taking over houses, killing and raping. They're stealing whole barnfuls of tractors and farm takeover robberies. I don't know what they do with it. We have a guy here at the church. They couldn't get the tractor out because of the way the doors were locked, smaller doors. They took the time to cut the tractor up, put it on a flatbed, and haul it off because it was in one of these remote areas. So the farms out here are getting fortified just out of necessity. I tell you, when we talk about Peter Hammond, Central California and Southern California is turning into South Africa, with the illegal aliens being the savages in this case. And it's only going to get worse. We don't have any berms here. We're on a gentle slope and lots of free cleared area. That's the next thing I want to talk about. I'll say kill zones, dead space. There's a difference between dead space and kill zones, just so you know the terminology. A kill zone is a cleared area with fields of fire from either a hasty position or a built-up position that your people will be on, that anything gets in that zone will be engaged by what's called interlocking fields of fire, meaning overlapping. People, if they go left and right, their range overlaps the person next to them. Usually it looks like a bunch of W's if you draw it down on a piece of paper. That's the kill zone. After that, you have dead space. Dead space is where you can't see the enemy. So anything that's a dead space, you have to get rid of that. If that means grading the area, building up behind it, or putting precautions there to take them out if they kneel behind it. So do you understand that? So you have to survey your property for dead space. Just do what I taught you to do, Lou, at 59. What you need to do is just stand in the middle of your property and do an assessment. We have had professionals come in here and do that for us to tell us what we need to do. We will continue to do that as money comes available. They will come in and do a threat assessment of each building. So people think we're not doing a lot up here. They think we just sit around and complain about the government. No, we're actually preparing for what's going to happen, which I believe will happen. And if there be refugees, so be it. We're going to cut out of here, and when we come back, we're going to be on Liberty Tree Radio. And we're going to be doing the Cornkey thing. I'm going to talk about some intel that we've gotten. We'll continue this discussion if you like. Please call in when we come around. 559-561-8225. That's on the top of the screen.
Our tears of joy shall flow, and our smiles will beam and glow, when those bad old foes we fought for years finally fall from one last blow. So don't give up on hope. Try to dry all these teardrops from your eyes. 'Cause there's still time for me and you. There's still love to see us through. There's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose, girl, to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till
until the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end, 'cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not. Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer, yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight. What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win. Yeah, now there's still time for me and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still
glass of wine. You can drink to your true love, and I will drink to mine. You can drink to your true love, and I'll lament and moan. I am a rebel soldier, and far from my home. I'll build me a castle on some green mountain high, where I can see Polly when she is passing by. Where I can see Polly and help her to mourn. I'm a rebel soldier. And far from
okay, folks, we're back. This is Dutch Jones. Please, thank you. And God bless you for sticking by us with all these little glitches that we're getting. I'm going to fade the music out. Stop the music over there. Stop it.
Come on.
We're going to try Ustream over the weekend. I've already opened an account. Hopefully, with our limited bandwidth, it will work better. We'll switch over to that right now. I think with a free account, you can have 20 listeners. We'll have to embed a player and do all that stuff again. But let me turn this down so I don't hear you eating, Lou. Stacy's here. She came in. She brought food from all kinds of corporate America facades. She's eating leftover pizza, it looks like.
No,
oh, it's not. It's a quesadilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the last meal of the...
Yeah.
I've been swimming for a while.
Yeah. So we thank you for sticking by us with all the problems. We're getting some weird stuff. This brand new computer that Lou's using, and what's the newest of what we have, shouldn't be doing this. It's kind of strange. Really strange. What I want to talk to you about before we get kicked off the air here and the next time is we got some intel, good intel, firsthand intel given to one of our highly rated members, someone that we trust, was in an area where some stuff was going down, and then talked to the civilian people that were involved in it. It happened at a major university, that's all I can say, because we don't want to get anybody in trouble. But this university, while the students were away, was having a faculty meeting to deal with preparedness, disasters, all that kind of stuff. They're engaged on campus in this, you know, maybe a, you know, it was probably kind of a round table thing, you know, talking about what they need to do here, what they should do there, how they should spend the money. It's the responsibility of these colleges to take care of our kids when we send them there. So it's an awesome responsibility. While they were there, the U.S. military came in with several helicopters, ground troops, and basically took control of the area. Now, this contact to our member was able to speak directly with a member of the military and said they were doing an exercise, which I think they just found out that these people were there doing something and wanted to know what they were doing, but it was an exercise on enforcing the H1N1 vaccine on a major U.S. campus. They wanted to use it as a containment area. Think about it. You got dorms, you got buildings, you got places to cook food, you got commissary. There's multiple restaurants, all the plumbing you would need. Depending on the campus, I was in multiple high-rise dorms where you could secure people in. A defined footprint, so you could secure it with that new rapid deployment, three rounds of concertina that we saw in Camp FEMA. And when they said, why would you need to enforce something like this? The soldier said, because if you knew what was in H1N1 vaccines, you would be resisting too. He was thwarted by a high-ranking officer who came over and elbowed him, let him have it in the ribs, and basically told him to shut up and stop sharing the inside spiel. I mean, it sounds like this soldier was kind of an idiot, not somebody I'd want in my unit that would just talk freely to anybody who walked up. I don't think he was trying to be a patriot. I think he just didn't have a clue, and he just didn't realize the weight of what he was involved in there, which unfortunately the military lets idiots join too. I can attest to that. I saw a lot of people with IQs of 70 or lower in the military and the infantry. Not in the MPs, maybe like 79 or lower. But anyway, so we have that incident going on. It's verified, firsthand report to one of our people who was out and about doing his own scouting across the country or whatever. Then yesterday, and this was in newspaper articles at the Fresno Bee. If you go to the Fresno Bee, you go to local Fresno news agencies. Yesterday there was I think it's called a Y-22 Raptor. An Air Force, it's the next generation of fighter, and I guess there's even more, but it is a advanced fighter that was over our area in Fresno and Visalia making large concentric circles and producing huge smoke rings with the exhaust. Now, all the chemtrail folks, I straddled 1 foot in each camp. I think that maybe that high dissipating it won't affect, but I know personally of a friend of mine that did an in-depth news report out of San Antonio for the NBC affiliate, and she did a bunch of testing and came up with all kinds of, nasty chemicals that were coming out of the sky when that stuff was going on over her area. So this went on 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 rings. There was another type, it looked like an F-16 with it. It was all over the Central Valley, but specifically over the populations of Fresno. Well, what happened is the public safety people didn't know what they were doing, scrambled because their thought was that this was a military aircraft who was burning off fuel so that it could crash land at the Army National Guard base there, the Air National Guard base, or FYI, Fresno Yosemite International Airport. Because nobody told them they were going to do it. Just like, remember when Obongo had those aircraft fly through New York to get pictures? This may be something like that. He just wanted to... The civilians were terrified. They were calling 911 thinking it was a hijacked aircraft. Boy, I'm missing that trash. I'll pick it up afterwards. But they thought perhaps this was some kind of suicide attack again. Somebody got a hold... Because you can't tell if it's an airline or not. But it turns out I forgot the name of it again, the YF-22 or whatever,
the Raptor
that was zipping around there threatening people. Now, I don't know if the chemtrails was part of it, because I don't know on an aircraft that small. Usually associated with the chemtrail theory, it's a large aircraft, large commercial liner filled with it. So this was a psychological thing, I think. I think what it was the equivalent of a raging lunatic running up and down the streets until everybody got used to it. Why is there a U.S. fighter jet circling our cities? Two of them, one from the Navy, one from the Air Force. Now, for the past several days, we've been seeing large helicopters with the twin rotors. I've been told they're called Sea Stallions or something along those lines. I don't know. I don't know my helicopters, the naval ones, I know. Going north. We talked about that a little bit the other day. Now we're seeing black Jet Ranger helicopters. I assumed on Wednesday, before I bailed on you on Thursday, and I apologize to all the Liberty Tree listeners, but we had a vehicle breakdown and we were unable to do the show. But this black jet range, I have to remember if I wrote it down somewhere, but it was a police helicopter. They painted it black, and their drug interdiction officers are wearing black uniforms, hanging out of the doors with video cameras going slow and low throughout our region. They were just spotted again today flying over Visalia. So if they're looking for marijuana, the huge marijuana plants like they claim, why are they over residential neighborhoods and videotaping and looking down into backyards? Now, unlike Southern California, we don't have cameras all over the place here in Central California. So they need to put a bird up. They need to use their – they already tell us that they have a predator drone that they use. But now they got a new helicopter. I haven't – usually it's the white and green and yellow typical sheriff helicopter that you see when it's hauling the marijuana out in big bundles underneath. And then the white deuce and a half that they got, some military surplus that they load up with marijuana and drive it out. Now, I don't know if this is harvest season. I don't know if it's just, you know, paranoia on my part, but why are they videotaping me while I'm working on my car and flying right over our facility here, the church and the ranch?
I don't know.
What are they looking for? And they just slowly went towards the main fork of the river where the town of Three Rivers is, and then just, you could see them just tootling up real slow and low up South Fork, or on North Fork, for those of you that know where I'm talking about. Very, very strange.
Just being nosy.
Maybe looking for opportunistic crime. Somebody's operating a car dealership out of their backyard. You know, somebody's got a building that they didn't pull a permit for. Somebody's expanded their house. You know, somebody's putting in a septic system that they didn't get a permit for. That's what I think that's the first-hand excuse, so they can immediately generate fines. The second one is just to be nosy and see what they can get. Mm-hmm. And, of course, these perverts in uniform are probably, you know, trying to see what they can see. Because a lot of people around here think they have privacy because they're surrounded with large trees and large fences and they're far from their neighbor. They don't realize that if you look up for infinity, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. It could be. We get a lot of people that sunbathe nude up here. That's what they do. You know, they're secular folks and they don't see a problem with it. Personally, I don't want to be outside naked ever. You know, with the bears, the stickers, the ants, the bees. I mean, to me, that's just a tactical no-go for me. And the thought of somebody flying over and invading my privacy like that just infuriates me. It infuriates me. And then we're just hearing and seeing triple, quadruple the police presence now. It started with the Hell's Angels when they came to town and they sent everybody in. And, you know, they were able to get a couple people from Colorado for having ball-peen hammers on their person. Do you believe that? It's illegal to have a ball-peen hammer on your motorcycle. It's a tool. They use it when their kickstart sticks, and they have to tap it or something. I don't know. But they're not allowed to have ball-peen hammers. I guess that's like a symbol of the Hell's Angels. They, you know, they probably busted a few heads with ball-peen hammers, so now they don't have that.
Would I get arrested if I had one?
I don't know. I don't know if you would be arrested. Just like... It, you know, some people would be arrested if they had an expandable baton in their car, but if they have a 5-cell or 6-cell flashlight made out of metal in their car, would they be arrested for that? I don't know. And if you've got a bat, you better have a glove and ball.
What about an axe?
Yeah, if you have an axe, well, just tell them I'm a whittler. I like to whittle things.
Have some pieces of wood.
Yeah, have a bunch of wood in there so you can whittle it. So, I mean, they're just out opportunistic. They're showing zero tolerance on the freeways. You're going 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, they're pulling you off. If we got pulled over because they thought we may be weaving. When he said that, I know, she wasn't. He goes, well, I look like you might be weaving there. And I'm like, you know, I just shut up and had my hand on the hornet spray, you know, ready to go in case he decided to take us out. That'd give me at least a drop on getting out of the vehicle and tackling him or something. But I assume that every contact with law enforcement will be hostile now. Even if they're not, I assume they are, just because of the things that they are doing. Stacy was telling me about an elderly woman that was just killed by SWAT. I couldn't find anywhere because I was under the vehicle all day. But you told me this morning about some elderly woman that was killed by a SWAT. Somebody mm-hmm. called you and somebody emailed you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't even remember
don't
telling
remember.
Me that. Well, if you don't remember, don't say that on the air because it makes you sound really weird. You just go, okay. Yeah, you this morning you were saying, you got to check this out. There's a, and I said, where was it? And you go, I don't know. So I was going to try to look it up, but... So the in-your-face, hey, look at, we've got an armored car, look at our gang unit. Now, maybe because we're in an election cycle, I have to give it that caveat, and the incumbent is not doing well. So he's taking out big ads, and look, our guys are everywhere, because we only have one sheriff deputy up here. For me, that's one too many. I don't need to dial 911 if somebody's stealing my lawnmower. If somebody's kicking in my front door to do a home takeover, Robbie, what's 911 going to do for me?
Nothing.
Send up a community service volunteer to take the report 2 days later after I've disposed of the body. That's fine.
And the news.
You know, yeah. And the news guy. What?
News guy.
Why would we need a news guy, Lou?
Because.
I don't understand.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. We don't need a news guy up here. We've already got an annoying newspaper guy.
I'm not, when you call 911, all they do is do with paperwork and send it to the news.
No, they don't even do that.
They don't cooperate
with the news. Mm-hmm. They give them a blotter, and that they say, here, print this stuff.
Well, never mind.
This stuff. Then why say it? You're building a verbal bridge to nowhere, Lou, and I didn't. There was no funny there.
There's no funny.
No funny. I didn't understand it. Just eat your french fries, I'll turn your mic down again. But they've got these. They're putting up other patrol cars up here. We've seen the highway patrol going up and down our road. I've seen park rangers from the BLM and the U.S. Was it the National Parks and U.S. Forest Service suddenly out of nowhere on our road? We don't have any campsites on our road. The only campsites they have, they closed 4 years ago because the illegal aliens were trashing them. They actually stole the outhouses, I think. So now they're all barred up, and you can't use them. You know, all the swimming holes are only for locals. And that's the way it should be because they abused the hospitality of our region. But we're just seeing this huge police presence up here. And I don't think it's just because of us. I'm not that paranoid nor that egotistical. I think it's just in general they want to improve their public presence so they can say, look, you need us. We're here. Because there have been home takeover robberies here. There have been assaults. There have been a couple people shot just answering their door. Break-ins, robberies. A lot of it's been the local teens, to be fair. But when you see, you know, the little Honda Civic or Honda Accord going by, and there's a bunch of shaved, bald Mexican heads in there, and it doesn't have to do with the fact that they're Mexican, but that's what our gangs are here. And they come up here, and they just, you'll see them, they'll just kind of slowly look around. Their heads are just on a swivel, looking for that opportunistic crime, some idiot that left their garage door open, or some secluded little vacation home that's got enough trees around it that you can't see it once the car goes down the driveway. I mean, I understand privacy, but there are some things you just got to do, especially if you're not going to be up here 24/7. And that's, you know, get some people to check on it. Hire a gardener to be there, you know, two or three times a week randomly. You don't just – I don't understand these city folk. It's a waste of resources. But the good news is those of you that are friends of the church, friends of the show – in a refugee status, we're going to have lots of vacant homes for you. And that's part of our contingency plan because we know the San Francisco, L.A., Sacramento people aren't going to survive the flight here, not a lot of them. So we look at these as resources. I mean, we're not going to steal anyone's land. We're not going to use their stored resources at all. But there will come a period of time when it's obvious that they're not coming 2, 3, 4 years into it. And it will be justified in using those dwellings for the common good. You know, in a righteous way. You know, we're not going to go in and if they have a storage, you know, cache, we're not going to use it. That'll be there for them. So that way, when they show up, you just move out of the house. You know, hey, we secured your stuff. We're taking care of it. You know, if there was any wear and tear and anything, please let us know. We'll take care of it. And I know a lot of people are going, that sounds stupid. Just use it. Kick in the door and take it. No. We are a Christian militia, and we will not be blessed in this cause if we conduct ourselves like looters. We cannot be looters in this scenario. And we must deal with looters. The Bible says he who postpones a punishment is guilty of the future crimes of that person. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you know what I'm talking about. If we let looters live, then we're guilty for their next victims. If they go down and rape and kill a family, that blood is in our hands. So when we catch looters in the act, they get a quick, speedy trial, found guilty, and they're executed. I know that's kind of a left turn you didn't think I was going to take today, huh? We went from talking about in the first hour how we're going to have a bunch of chickens and rabbits to let's shoot some looters. That's the way it's going to be. We're talking post-collapse, folks. I'm not talking right now. Huh? You want me to go back to the chickens?
No, then feed them to the chickens.
Then feed them to the chickens. Okay, I can turn your mic up now. Lou wants to feed them to the chickens, so. I don't know. If I fed a human to a chicken and then I ate the chicken or the eggs, am I a cannibal? That creates a moral...
Like that.
You need to think like that. That is a moral paradox. No. I've known people have said, well, if you have pigs, pigs will eat anything. And then I thought, well, that'd be kind of gross because you'd be eating the other white meat, not just the other white meat if you fed the executed prisoners. But anyway, maybe I shouldn't go there. I don't know what the chat room's thinking now. Yeah, Lou doesn't like to be made to think. He just wants warm, fuzzy thoughts. Go to your happy place, Lou. He's rocking back and forth with his eyes closed. His happy place is actually the candy aisle at any store.
Uh-uh.
So it's not hard to imagine.
But folks, we're kind of winding it up here. We got one call. We had a few kinks. Bear with us. Over the weekend, we're going to set up our Ustream and see if they can use that over at Liberty Tree Radio if we get less dropouts. I'm all for that. But whatever it is, you'll still be able to go to DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk, and use it. You know, I'm going to try and make it as easy for you as possible. You know, you just click on whatever player we put at the top of the page, right, Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I have to ask him because I don't know how to do it. I'd be lost without Lou. I mean, the only reason I'm on the internet is Lou knows how to do this stuff.
He'd be out in the field wandering around somewhere without me.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Let's see. What do we got here? Anything good in the... Okay, autopsy showed that Gaza activists... I got to throw this in here. Were shot 30 times. Yeah! Man, those Israeli guys must have a lot of ammo. So he shot a whole mag into the dude? Or does that mean they were all shot 30 times? I got to go to this link somebody just sent me. I can't just sit, you know, make a statement like that. We got a couple minutes here. 9 Turkish activists killed in an Israeli raid on a Gaza-bound aid ship were shot a total of 30 times, and 5 died of gunshot wounds to the head. Okay, so 30 between them. 30 between 9. Everybody gets some. Let's see. Britain's Guardian newspaper reported this on Friday.
657.
Okay. Huh?
6:57.
I know. I got a clock right here. Mm-hmm. Just at 6:59, I start playing the music, so I know. Autopsy results showed the men were hit mostly with 9mm bullets. Many fired at close range, the Guardian said, quoting Yalcin Bayuk, vice chairman of the Turkish Council on Forensic Medicine. Israel commandos stormed a flotilla of aid ships. Wow, they said stormed. Planning to break the Israeli sea blockade of Gaza on Monday, the deaths, which all took place on the ship, the Mavi Marmara, drew widespread condemnations. And I'm actually surprised the mainstream media is not really couching this in a nice way for Israel. The autopsy results showed that a 6-year-old man, Ibrahim Biljan, was shot 4 times in the temple, chest, hip, and back. A 19-year-old named Fulken Dogan, who was a U.S. citizen, was shot 5 times from less than 18 inches away in the face. Wow. Boy, man, these people, they kick butt and take names. I'm sorry, but you can't defend this. They shouldn't have been on the ship. It was in international waters. I don't care how you twist UN sanctions, any of the law.
Well, they're not.
They were pirates. They are pirates. But then again, the Islamo-fascist terrorists are no better. So there's just no good guy in this. Getting on those ships, resisting purposefully, bloodthirsty Zionist thugs is going to get you killed. They can't. It's not. It's kind of like that. Those wolf people, you know, the sea wolf people, the sea shepherd or whatever. You know, you're going to get your butt kicked by the Japanese whalers. There is no winner in this. I think I've kind of diluted down or filtered down my opinion on what happened. The first day I was outraged until I started reading about what was going on, and now I just hope both sides just grind to a halt in this. It's just trying to lure American interest, world interest, sympathy for either cause, which means more taxpayer dollars going to who? Both sides. We're not going to do that. Okay, folks, we're going to fade out of here. Thanks for listening. Sorry today was so choppy. We're going to do the best we can on Monday to rectify all these problems. Go to DutchJones.tk. I really need your help financially to keep this show on the air. DutchJones.tk. There's a help pitch in there. Or you can go to the post office box and email us, just wrap it in foil. People have been cutting off our envelopes and taking the money. We've confirmed that. We'll be back Monday. Thanks for living. Thanks for listening. Remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord.
Postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection, maybe those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now,
They've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts instead, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy, nor do we believe in cult theology. And as their police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. That just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Yeah, it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
It's the third time I've said that.